The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't want it, you don't need it, but you're gonna get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
Cooley will be on the show today. We will get his thoughts on Sam Howell and the offense against the Ravens on Monday night. The show today brought to you by MyBookie. Football is back, so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options to bet and win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit, cash out early and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now. Register for an account that's free. When you're ready to make your first deposit, just use my promo code KevinDC to grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code KevinDC to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, you'll get a free chip to use in the MyBookie online casino. First college football weekend coming up. It's week zero. All right. Southern Cal, a 31-point favorite over San Jose State at MyBookie. And Notre Dame is a 21-point favorite against Navy as they open up the Brian Newberry era in Annapolis. MyBookie.ag, use my promo code KevinDC. I want to start the show with two tweets that I want to respond to before we get to Cooley. This from Kyle on Twitter. Of course it was ones against twos and means nothing, but funny because you went on and on for a week about how good Brissett looked on a single drive against Cleveland's twos and threes, and if roles had been reversed last night, meaning Monday night, you would have been singing his praises. Actually, Kyle, and the two or three others that have tweeted me something similar, I did actually sing Hal's praises. He played well. He played very well. He looks the part. And many other things like that. Forms of praise for Hal's game against the Ravens Monday night. I mean, come on, man. Listen. I was very positive about Sam Howell's performance. It was almost identical to some of the things I said last week about Howell's performance against the Browns. Poised, calm, looks comfortable, looks the part. Lots of singing praise for Sam Howell so far through two preseason games. But yes, I have also pointed out who he has faced. Cleveland, without several of its defensive starters, including their two best defensive players, including the best player on their team in Myles Garrett, and against Baltimore, facing none of their projected starters. I pointed that out as well. As far as Jacoby Brissett goes, I did think he played well last week against Cleveland and said so. I also said yesterday that I did not think he played well against Baltimore. You know, and again, with Jacoby Brissett, I spelled out in detail last week and this week, describing like I did with Sam, who was on the other side of the ball defensively when both quarterbacks were in the game. I mean, hearing, comprehension. One or the other, maybe both for some of you. This from Gabe. When are you going to get off the draft status of Sam Howell? It doesn't mean S. The guy is the next Brady, best case. The next Purdy or Cousins, worst case. Oh, Gabe, you know how to get me. Good job. First of all, Brady? Look, I don't think much is off the table in talking about Sam Howell, but the greatest of all time just might be. Also, how dare you compare Howell to Cousins as a worst case? If he's Cousins, sign me up for that right now. You know, your worst cases are damn good cases, including Purdy, who, you know, is an outlier just like Kirk and Dak Prescott, you know, have been in terms of day three picks. Although I still think it's way too early on Purdy. But look, I agree with you, Gabe. I don't care about draft status for Sam Howell in the way you think I care about it. It doesn't matter when it comes to evaluating Sam Howell. Draft status is not a part of forming an opinion about Howell or any other player. Sam's draft status is something I have discussed, yes, many times, but in the context of it just doesn't happen very much. A day three quarterback developing into a legitimate NFL starter is very rare. Dak, Kirk, and Purdy right now are basically the list since 2010. You can throw Tyrod Taylor in there, but he hasn't been a steady starter. It's like three out of now 80 plus since 2010. And there are reasons for that, obviously. Usually, the reason is that the quarterback taken on day three isn't good enough. But as we've discussed many times, it's also possible that many day three QBs just weren't given the opportunity that day one quarterbacks get. And perhaps that's a reason few end up making it in the league. But most don't make it because they're not good enough. But it's two conversations here. One, you know, Sam Howell was a fifth rounder, and the chances based on the history of quarterbacks being drafted in the later rounds, the chances of him becoming a big-time NFL starter based on that history aren't very good. Just a factual statement. The other part is, well, who cares? Because he's playing now. He's getting a chance. Let's see what he's got. His draft status doesn't even enter my mind during the game on Monday night when I'm watching. I'm watching their starting quarterback. And I am, like many of you, evaluating the performance. It won't factor in his draft status when I watch him against Arizona. Now it's about whether or not he can do it. It's really not that hard, you know? Bottom line, too, with Sam Howell is Sam Howell was a weird day three pick. I said it the moment they took him in the fifth round. I said, look, that's not your normal run-of-the-mill fifth round pick because Sam Howell has some brand recognition because he was thought to be a day one pick, a very high day one pick, you know, a year earlier or even like 8 months before that draft. You know, by the way, he's not the only one. You know, I've had many of you say, you know, in discussing Sam Howell as a day three pick, yeah, but he was a projected first rounder. Look, it doesn't happen often that guys fall from projected first to day three. You know, there are examples like Brady Quinn, like Christian Hackenberg, who were actually projected number one overall picks, you know, before the draft at various points during their college careers. But they didn't fall to day three. They slid big time, but not to day three. Two different things here. The draft status conversation is just a factual statement about the history of quarterbacks being taken on day three. Now it's about, since he's getting the chance, can he do it or not? Can he be, you know, one of those guys that slips through the cracks, you know, and ends up being kind of that needle in the proverbial haystack? And I know that kind of comes back to draft status. Understood as I'm saying it. But the point is, it's not about his draft status anymore now. It's about whether or not he can do it because he's getting the opportunity. And he's getting the opportunity because he's obviously shown something. Good news on Terry McLaurin yesterday. That MRI revealed no major damage to his right big toe. The team is optimistic, according to John Keim, about his availability for the September 10th season opener. That's huge. My God. They have receivers and playmakers that are legit good and upper tier in this league. And Terry is a big part of what they, you know, are hoping to accomplish this year. Without him, even for a couple of games, it would be a big blow. But it looks like they won't suffer that big blow. Real quickly, before we get to Cooley, another win for the Nationals last night. C.J. Abrams homers in the eighth inning to hand the Yankees, by the way, their ninth straight loss. Longest losing streak for the Pinstripes in 41 years. Meantime, the Nats are 24-14 in their last 38 games. Third best record in the National League since the All-Star break. And they are 7.5 games out of the third and final wild card spot. All right. Cooley, next, right after these words from a few of our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This segment of the show with Cooley is brought to you by our good friends at Shelley's Back Room. If you're looking to have a cigar when you're in town, go to Shelley's Back Room at 1331 F Street Northwest. You might be surprised to find out that you will also be able to get a great meal. Shelley's has one of the great food menus in the city. Lobster bisque for an appetizer, bacon-wrapped shrimp for dinner, key lime pie for dessert. Just a few of the other choices coming out of one of the best kitchens you'll find in D.C. A good meal and a good cigar, the good life. Find out more at shelleysbackroom.com and go to Shelley's at 1331 F Street Northwest. So, jumping on with us right now is Chris Cooley, who watched the game the other night. Not a lot of it. I think the first half, and he may tell us that he only watched the offensive side of the ball. But what's up, sport?
What's up, pal?
How you doing, champ? I had a good time out there.
Big guy.
I had a good time out there. I told everybody about my trip. It was a blast. We had a good time.
The best thing about you telling everybody about the trip was that you sat in the car and prepared to tell everybody about the trip, telling me about the trip in your own version of the trip while we were on the trip.
I don't even know what you're talking about. What do you mean?
You were like planning out your story while you were doing it, and I kept saying you're gonna make fun of me this entire time.
I wasn't going to make fun of you. I said to you what I actually said to everybody else, and that is the NFL Network should do a Football Life show on you. It would be a really good one. They've done it on much lesser players than you. And you told me that they did reach out to you at some point. You told them you didn't want to do it.
They reached out about something. That's why you think they should do a football show about me, because I have no idea what who reaches out and for what reason. I do your podcast, and then I live my other life in Wyoming.
Yeah.
I got a relevant football. What do you got for you?
All right. Go ahead.
My life-related football. So my wife hands me the stack of mail today. Stack of mail. All fan mail. First of all, it's super weird that you can look up anyone's address anywhere. I don't like it. I'm not that private, but it's just super weird to get letters from, like, there's letters from 40 different states today. I have 400 letters.
Seriously?
That I opened and read. Seriously. And they get mailed to my house.
So, hold on.
I can get your address.
Did you just find out about this?
No, I knew about this. I'm just suggesting that it's super weird as I was thinking through it today.
So how often do you get these letters? There were 400, so they had been piling up. They didn't all just come in the last week, did they?
No, it's been at least 3 months since I've signed a letter, since I've went through anything of those sorts.
So I'm actually troubled by that, too. So anybody can just, I guess, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm Googling myself.
So
I'm sure I can find my address.
Why
are we telling people that they can find our addresses?
Well, they already know.
99.9% of the people out there are totally fine, but there are a couple of people that listen to this podcast, and I wouldn't be concerned if I were you. Everybody loves you, but there are a couple of people that don't like me.
Less people like me more people dislike me than people that dislike you.
100%. I don't think that's true at all.
Well, I mean, more people care about me than you.
That's definitely true. I completely agree with that.
That's so low. I take that comment back. Anyways, so I have two things. My two what do you got from this? Well, really three, because it's super strange to see, like, Derek Glasgow from Salem, Oregon, sending me a letter.
Right.
I know what's in it. I mean, I clearly... The only people that actually handwrite letters or write on the letters are fan mail letters. Like, I know which ones they are. I can feel the cards in them, those pictures.
And what do they want? Sign them and send them back?
Sign their cards and send it back. So most people send an envelope back in it, and you just put it back, pop it right, sign them up, put it in an envelope. Now, a lot of times, if I can tell, like, an 8-year-old's written the letter, I will write them a letter back. I do read all the letters. I read them all. And so if it's a kid or something, I'll put some other pictures or something else in it. Don't tell your kids to send letters to my house because of this conversation. I don't want to.
Well, this is where it's leading.
I know. So I usually send them all. I'll bet you at this point in my life, 80% get back to people. It might be a year, but they get back. So the two funny things. From sitting at my table for an hour and a half today, signing fan mail. One, if you're going to sign fan mail, like, put one of those envelopes that you have the peel-off thing. I'm not going to lick it. I got a sponge.
Oh, yeah, right. Sure.
Like, I'm afraid, like, someone's going to poison me with
right.
SASE envelope.
I doubt they will, but yeah.
I highly doubt it. I mean, on the one-off chance that they do, I don't want to die at my kitchen table signing things.
Doing nice things for people.
Doing nice things for most other people. And two, I've went through over the course of the last 20 years the varieties of fan mail letters. Well, I have a new favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can tell in the 40s, 50-year-old man, even 30s, and a lot of times they'll tell you, that will recite to you like I could read off my own bio at an event. Wow, what a great career. You had 429 receptions and 88 touchdowns. You were in the Pro Bowl 2 times. You played in this game and this. I love my own bio.
They write to you and they recite your bio straight from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Why? Why do they do that?
Like, I don't know my own bio, which I actually don't. I don't know. They just, I think they try to personalize it enough.
How many catches do you have career?
I think it's 429. I read it today.
You're right. How many yards? Do you know how many yards?
I have no idea. That was also in the bio, but I just was
4,711. Do you know how many touchdowns you had in your career?
No.
33.
33 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's that one that I liked. And then I also liked the two sentences typed. Will you please sign the cards and put them in the envelope that I've sent to you to send them back? Okay. Here you go.
By the way, this is leading me to reading your Wikipedia page. Listen to this. Cooley co-hosted Cooley and Kevin.
You're doing it.
Hold on. This is interesting. Cooley co-hosted Cooley and Kevin, a morning drive sports show on ESPN 980 in D.C. with Kevin Sheehan. The show was canceled in 2018. Cooley now hosts his own podcast, The Chris Cooley Show, in which he discusses Redskins and NFL news and breaks down each week's game film. He also produces weekly film review segments on the Redskins official website. Oh, you know what? You were actually... You did do that for a brief period of time.
6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
They need to update that.
That needs to be updated.
Now I'd only do... Now Cooley does the Kevin Sheehan podcast, where he's agreed to do half of the film breakdowns this year.
Why? Okay, do you want to share with everybody why you're only going to do half of the film breakdowns this year?
You came out for 2 days, half of the expected time that we agreed upon last year.
That's not true. There was no agreed upon amount of time.
Yeah, there's 100%. That first argument or that first conversation about it, I said, you got to come for at least 4 days. That's what I tell everyone. I promise it happened. I just know it did because it's just standard protocol for the conversation of coming here.
It might be standard protocol for many of your conversations, but you did not follow protocol for that conversation because I would have remembered you saying no. I would have remembered you saying 4 days.
You hear what you want to hear. It got said.
All right. So if you do.
I have come up with a new solution, though. I'm just going to do half the work for the film breakdowns that I do for you.
So you'll do a film breakdown every week this year, but you'll only put in half the effort.
But just spend very half the time.
Well, you know what?
And then you know me, and you know that that's not even a feasible...
Because once you get into it, it's like, oh my God, and then I'm hearing from you. What happened? Did you see this? Yeah. Then you come back up for air 8 hours later. I know you didn't do that for this preseason game. So wait a minute. Am I getting a commitment from you that you're going to do film breakdown this year?
Do you have a commitment from me for the rest of forever? I'm irrelevant.
All right.
There will be a new deal. There will be a new deal made.
I'm
not sure of the parameters. I don't know where we're going, but there's going to be a deal.
Well, what's standard protocol?
It won't involve money. It won't involve money. Right?
What's standard protocol for your second negotiation and second deal for the appearance?
I haven't thought about it yet. Okay. I haven't spent the time to put it together just yet.
Okay. Well, let me just say this. I had so much fun that I absolutely would commit to coming back out there next year. This time I would fly into Cody Yellowstone instead of Billings.
Oh, that was the other thing that you
because you told me to fly into Billings.
I want this to be very clear to anybody, to your 11 to 17 listeners. I know that's not true. Why on earth? I don't want any feedback from you on the side of this.
Okay.
Why on earth would I say to you, Kevin, I think you should fly to Billings, Montana, which is a solid 95 miles from my house, because that would be better than flying into Cody, Wyoming, which is 12 miles from my house. So I would prefer to drive 90 miles, not 12. Think I did that?
I know what you did, but apparently I'm not allowed to comment. I know what you
did. You think I forgot to tell you about the Cody Airport?
You did. What you told me was the easiest place to fly into, which is true, the easiest and most accessible airport, bigger airport. When I say bigger, I mean Billings is not a big airport. I didn't even tell you about my story when I got back to Billings when you dropped me off that morning. remind me to tell you that story. They were the nicest people I think I've ever dealt with at a ticket counter.
You got your flight changed, so you didn't have to go back to Vegas, back to wherever
exactly.
you were going.
And they totally set me up and did a great job. But the bottom line is, Billings is a more accessible airport from Denver, Salt Lake, and other places. Cody Yellowstone doesn't have nearly as many flights. And I think what you said to me was, Billings is the easier, more accessible airport. And if you did say that Cody Yellowstone, you can fly in there, I think it was, I'll take part of the blame here, that I just heard Billings, Montana. Because maybe I also thought Cody Yellowstone was going to be like prop plane. From like you know, Salt Lake into Cody.
It's not a problem.
I know, but
you just heard what you wanted to hear. But
well, I did, but you didn't have to pick me up because I offered,
I
would have preferred to have rented a car so you didn't have to pick me up, and then more importantly and more inconveniently for you, take me back very early in the morning to make a 7 a.m. flight, which meant we left your house at 4:45 or whatever time it was.
All of this is irrelevant. We had a great time.
We had a great time.
I enjoyed sitting in the car talking to you for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It didn't matter at all to me. And it is easier. I'll give you another brief easier into Billings. It's not easier. It's much easier to go into Cody. And it's normally realistic. It's not going to be a problem. Something happened in Denver in the middle of July. And there was this big charity golf tournament here where Rod Woodson was the guy that came and played. By the way, he was in my foursome. Uh-huh. How they worked that out at our tournament, that the two celebrities didn't go with any of the people. They just played with themselves.
Yeah, why did they do
that? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually do know, but because I said that's what we're doing. It's what we do.
Oh.
Well, Rod had a football camp in Cody the next day, got stuck in Denver. Could not leave, had to be in Cody, rented a car and drove 8 hours from Denver.
Wow.
Well, through the night. Hall of Famer Rod Woodson did this.
That's a commitment. That's actually first class that he did that.
Good dude.
Yeah.
Good dude.
All right, let's get to what you saw watching the first half of the game on Monday night. We'll do that with Cooley right after these words from a few of our sponsors.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Don't forget to rate us and review us, especially on Apple and Spotify. A quick 1-2 sentence review on Apple with a 5-star rating, if you see fit, is really helpful. Following us as well. You can follow us on Apple. It's in the upper right-hand corner. Spotify down the left-hand side. Subscribing to the podcast is a huge help as well. All right, let's get to it. What did you see when you watched Baltimore-Washington Monday night?
So I watched only the offense, only the first half on NFL Game Pass, which is still awesome because I can just 10-second fast forward NFL or only offense, you know. Only first half, whatever. Wasn't film. I don't know if they do the film for the preseason.
I don't think they do the film for the preseason.
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. Don't give two shits about what happened on defense. Although I caught a couple of things. Like when I knew Baltimore scored, I went and watched a play. Or when I knew there was a turnover, like when Martin picked the ball off in the end zone, I went back and watched that. And I was like, how did he not just score on that play? You know? How was that last touchdown of the first half by Baltimore a touchdown. But then you watch it again, and you're like, maybe it doesn't. So I watched a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But said, you talked to me about this before and said everyone was concerned about the defense.
I said I had a lot of people that were really concerned about the defense. I did tell you that.
Oh, my God. We are not even going to have a slight concern about any kind of performance on the field in a preseason game. Unless it's the quarterback is so unbelievably bad and you're not sure what he was going to be. Like, i.e. Sam Howell went 6 of 27 with 4 picks.
Right.
Now we have concerns. But everything's so simple and so basic. The defense was, I didn't watch very much defense. They're probably running a combination of 4 or 5 different fronts with 3 or 4 different coverages behind it, simplistic as could be. And also, in watching some of the plays, not making a massive attempt to tackle, which I also don't agree with, but I'm not concerned about at all.
Well, none of the starters played other than the linebackers on defense. So there's no reason to be concerned about the defense.
On a scale of 1 to 10 for a preseason game, I wanted to play in that game about negative 13.
Right.
Like, please, when can this end? I do not want to be here.
Okay, so let's focus on the offense.
I love the offense. I thought it was terrific. I think Sam Howell's going to be a Pro Bowler. Actually, he was really good. Bieniemy did a very good job of complimenting a ton of high-low reads. So you're reading 8 to 5 yards in between, 10 to 5 yards with, you know, dig or shallow cross. Shallow cross is the actually stop, which they haven't run in a long time, but I know that's how Bieniemy runs it. 15 to 18-yard digs with a couple different play actions put into it. And I thought Sam Howell did a really good job operating in that different situation. I mean, he put himself in a couple bad situations, like early he takes a sack, but then he hits Cole Turner on a 3rd and 15, who, by the way, was really good. And also, by the way, we said was going to be really good like 2 years ago.
Yeah, when they drafted him, you liked him. Yep.
I thought he, throughout most of the first half, was really pretty accurate. I thought his release was quick. And when he was on the move, was actually really good. Like later in the second quarter, rolled out right and hit Dotson on the run. Great vision down the field. Great ball to Dotson, who, by the way, was tremendous in the game.
He really was.
And is going to be a stud.
Agreed.
But, like, I'm looking through this. There are a couple sacks. There's a sack early in the second quarter where he's got a pressure off his left side. And they end up bringing 5. They got 5 to block 5, but it looks like he's hot. That's on him, or that's on offensive line to pick that up. How they're managing that, I don't know. But
he said it was his fault.
Mm-hmm. When you get hit in the face a couple times, you can figure out. No, most people figure out how to not do that.
Yeah, but if it was if it actually was his fault, is it because he didn't adjust the – you're talking about the free runner sack. We're not talking about the one that was obviously him holding the ball too long before the throw.
Yeah,
Cole
no. The first one holding the ball too long, he had 2 dudes open.
Right.
The first one holding the ball open, they're running like a 12-yard cross and a shallow cross underneath it. So high-low, 12 and 4. Both are open. Should have let it go. Did stop. He had early pressure. Should have stepped up and let it go. The second one unblocked. Depends on how you work it out. Most times it's on the quarterback as an unblocked pressure.
Okay.
But there are times when you say the left tackle would have to fan anybody wider, and that could be on the left tackle. It just depends on how it's worked out. If he said it's on him, it's on him.
Okay.
But yeah, going through like a couple good scrambles. He had that scramble attempt in the red zone where he doesn't make it to the end zone. He's young, so I don't mind him taking 3 hits there.
He got popped.
Yeah, he did get popped a little bit, but I'm fine with it. He didn't have anybody open on that concept. They ran, I'm not even going to describe it. He just didn't have anybody open on that concept. I can describe it, but we won't go there. gosh, man, over the middle of the field, I thought he made really good throws. 12-yard, like, kind of crosser and then hook up to Terry McLaurin was really good. Dagger to Cole Turner was really good. Four or five really good throws to Dotson. The angle throw on the route to Gibson that ends up scoring is a really good and on-time throw with the angle to Gibson. So I was really actually pretty impressed by him. The couple negatives, he bounces so much. He's like a rabbit back there. Like, he's always bouncing. When he just settles down, you got to be able to see it better. He's got happy feet. He is always looking down the field, especially in downfield concepts, way too long to throw the ball. It's open or it's not, and he'll get there, but it's open or it's not, and your checkdown's open now. Your checkdown's usually not open later. So if you're looking downfield, and now those deep routes pass back in coverage, now your underneath coverage goes, well, they're way the fuck back there, and so they react to any of those leak-out flat routes. Your checkdown's usually not just there. Will be in the second quarter of a preseason game, but it's not. So you don't have 5 seconds to read a deep downfield concept and go, I want this big shot. Like, you got 1 second, you throw that. You got 2 seconds, maybe. Let's just hit the check down. That's a young player, and I'm fine with that. For the most part, yeah, like I said, accurate. He missed Brown a little bit on a seam in the end zone behind him. I didn't hate the throw. He ends up making another really good throw to Deami Brown, who also looked good in this game. All the receivers look good. Brown, Terry, and Terry's, I'm assuming, fine.
Yeah, he's going to be. I mean, the MRI showed
Brown.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, all the receivers look good. I thought they ran the ball efficiently. I liked a couple different times Bienemy mixed in two screens in different situations. The first third and four was like a little screen that I liked mixed in. And Andy Reid's brilliant at mixing in screens and situations. So you hope that really, you know, Eric Bienemy picked up on all of that. But no, I was impressed by the offense. I was impressed by how. Or I did make one keynote, you know, with all the changes in football and all the things. It's funny, in his cadence, he still says white 80. White 80.
Is that it? Is that
blue 13?
Yeah.
It's a nothing. I mean, whatever you want to do it.
So what do you tell people who, because the Pro Bowl joke, the Pro Bowl thing, I mean, I want you to tell everybody that you were actually joking. If not, I'm going to turn it into a headline on Bleacher Report. I'm kidding.
I'll make it really easy. The same thing in one situation that you talk about with Taylor Heinicke. You go high load reads with multiple intermediate level routes, like 12 to 18 yards, and underneath routes that are following from 5 to 8 yards, and you're essentially reading the linebacker in between two dudes. One guy would be an alert. Let's read the underneath coverage in between two dudes, and let's let it rip. It's the same thing Heinicke did against the Buccaneers a couple years ago. It's a great way to run offense. It will exhaust itself very quickly. He did a great job executing within the game plan. He made accurate throws, and he looked very confident in doing so. There are much more things that go into football for a quarterback.
Right.
So what they're really going to learn is when he can read multiple down the field throws. Can he read four verts? Like, Kansas City lives off of four vertical routes. That's what they've lived off. I mean, big plays. Can he really push the ball down the field? Because if he can, he's going to get tight man coverage, press your guys. It's going to disrupt things, and you're going to have problems. So he's got to be able to throw the ball down the field. And then I would say, can he survive in the pocket? Can he understand when people start bringing some zone pressures and some different looks, and can he not take a bunch of big sacks? And that is going to be a problem for him this year, because he is going to do that, because he's hopping around a lot and he looks a little anxious in the pocket. So he's going to take some sacks this year. But again, that's a young player. So you figure out where he goes with that. I don't know. All in all, it was a good outing. I loved the other thing I loved about it the most. I think my favorite thing about this entire thing, we have a young quarterback who has not really seen enough looks. What are we going to do in this game? Why don't we throw the ball 30 times?
Right.
Great idea.
Love
it. Is it that hard? Yeah. The one guy that we really need, let's get that going. Oh, and last note, and I do have to leave. The offensive line looked pretty good. They did give him some time.
What I was going to say to you, and just one quick thought, because you haven't said it yet, is that I agree with you. I thought he played really well and looked really good. It was Baltimore's twos and threes that they were playing.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of that.
Okay.
Without game planning.
Right.
Yeah, it was, so we're very clear. It was four concepts, essentially. Five concepts. Very simple. And I mean on the part of what Sam Howell had to run.
Okay.
Very, very simple reads, very basic concepts, day one install stuff.
All right, great job. You don't have to do a Cincinnati film breakdown next week, but we will be back together leading into the first weekend of the NFL season. And by the way, you're going to be into the gambling part too, because I know you're wagering on football these days. So we can talk a lot about that as well during the season. And then we will negotiate the long-term deal sometime between now and your next appearance. Thank you for doing this. See ya. There he is, everybody. Off to move some dirt or play some golf or make some pottery. Who knows where he's headed? He is a man of many sides. Always good to have him on the show. And yeah, we will get him a little bit more engaged with this team, this quarterback, this coming season. And we'll do some recaps and some film breakdown on the podcast during the season. All right, that is it for the show today. I will have a show for you tomorrow.
What do you think of Coach Gibbs?
I love Coach Gibbs. He's a great guy, man.
He is a good guy.
Real upfront, honest. I mean, he really cares about the players. I think he's done a great job with, you know, bringing people into our organization to succeed.